Welcome back to Will I Ever Learn Chinese? I'm Jeanette Seikel. In this episode, I'm looking at the pros and cons of language testing in relation to my own learning preferences as well. I'm then going to go into implicit and explicit learning. When I first started learning Chinese, I didn't really have great ambitions for where I wanted to take the language. I was just learning Chinese for a little bit of fun, maybe for a challenge. But having learned Chinese for a while now, and finishing some of the learning materials I was following and so on, I wondered whether I should take the language further, and I considered taking a Chinese language test in order to certify my learning achievements. I was thinking about this for a while, and I realized that I don't really have many certificates for the languages that I speak and the languages that I have previously learned. There are various reasons for this. I may, for example, speak a language very well today, but in a few years from now, I may not speak that language very well anymore. It may have been replaced by something else in my brain. A certificate would show that I have known a language at one point, but it doesn't give any further indication about my linguistic abilities at all. For example, I have a degree in linguistics and Finnish, and my Finnish was pretty good at some point. However, I wouldn't really feel very confident having a conversation in Finnish today, just simply because I haven't used the language for a long time. I would need some prior revision, I would have to sit down for a week or so to brush up my Finnish again. Thus, the piece of paper that I've got shows one element of my linguistic abilities, namely that at some point in the 1990s, my Finnish was great. I have a certificate for Danish as well, but there's another reason for this one. In order to stay in Denmark after my study exchange, I had to achieve a certain level of Danish in order to be able to stay in the country and continue my studies there. So I took what is called Danskprøve 2, which is the second Danish test that you can take in the country. And the level is relatively low. I had been living in the country for over a year at that point. I spoke Danish daily as my main form of communication. So as I was sitting in the exam room and I was waiting to take the exam with other learners there, I realized that my level was actually much higher than that of everybody else in the room. And I hadn't necessarily prepared particularly well for the exam either. It was just very straightforward. It was something that I could do, not necessarily because I needed to take the exam, but because I was using Danish already in my daily life. So in this case, I was taking a language test for a certain reason in order to be able to stay in Denmark. Thinking about Chinese, I did not really see much value in taking an exam. I had no real desire to show off any language skills on paper. I thought, well, should I need to take a Chinese language test in the future? I could always do it at the time, just like I had done with Danish. There was another reason, though, and that has to do with motivation, because I realized that I don't really get motivated when preparing for exams. I know that some other people are different and they get a lot of energy from preparing for exams and learning a language that way, but I really don't. Actually, on the contrary, this is something that can really demotivate me. So I was evaluating my priorities and I realized that I wanted to keep Chinese learning fun. I decided against taking an official language test. However, during my learning, I tested my vocabulary size at different times. Vocabulary size is quite a good indicator for how well you understand the language, or at least claim to understand the language, because you have to say whether you know a word or not, and you have to be honest with yourself that you do know that word. There are various online platforms, and for Chinese there are many such places where you can do this, and they have these handy self-tests, they're available for free most of the time. You are being asked about some words from different difficulty levels, and you have to say whether or not you know that word. And once you've done the test, which usually doesn't take very long, the program will come back and tell you approximately how many words you know. I found this quite interesting because I could see over time how my language knowledge was growing. This, in turn, I found quite motivating. So, I wasn't going to take a language test, but what was I going to do? Well, at this intermediate stage, I was progressing daily, but it wasn't progressing in my learning programs anymore. I couldn't see that I had done another chapter. I couldn't see that I had finished something else. Rather, my regular learning program was coming to an end, and I needed to find some other methods. As I was going through the last few chapters in the program, I started to experiment with other ways to learn a language. And I found loads of interesting methods, because now I was able to understand some Chinese. I was keen to continue my relaxed approach to learning and acknowledging that I won't get things right from the start. I would have to be exposed to the language as much as possible, and I have to try to speak the language as much as possible. This was not really something I was doing very much yet, but I knew that as long as I persisted, as long as I kept going, things would gradually come together. I was mixing different methods to learn the underlying skills of understanding, speaking, reading, and writing. And at times I would focus on one or two of these skills, and then at other times I would move on and focus on other skills. But overall, I was progressing in all of them in due course. This approach really worked for me. I know that for some other learners, it may not work in the same way. It may be much more important for some people, for example, to get things right from the start. I didn't have those expectations on myself. For me, what was important was the motivation to learn. So if correctness is motivating you, then absolutely go for it. Get things right. Correctness was not really motivating me. And it had, in fact, put me off in my language learning in the past. So I found it much more important not to put any undue pressure on myself to get everything correct. It's about acknowledging what works for you. And it's also about knowing your own preferences and knowing what keeps you motivated. And when we look at learning theories, they actually agree. We don't have to restrict ourselves to a correct approach when learning a second language. We know that when you learn a language, you have to start somewhere. And languages are complex, so you won't be able to speak the language fluently from day one, whether you're very talented at language learning or not. Unless, of course, there is a brain implant that suddenly gets you going, and this may well be something in future that may happen. But the way our brains work, we need to repeat things a few times before we can master them. So, when learning a language, how can we acknowledge these facts that we need time and we need our brains to repeat things to get used to this language? For me, the most important thing here was to use the language by speaking and understanding and knowing that I wouldn't get things right from the start. So being kind to myself and realizing that it was okay, it was just the way learning works, it wasn't anything wrong with me. I was learning by doing, by using the language, by making mistakes. I was then reflecting on the mistakes, and next time I was in the same situation, well, maybe I would make the mistake again, but most likely I would have learned from the previous mistake and actually get it right. So I continued to celebrate my little wins when I was getting things right and not unduly dwelling on the aspects that I didn't know yet or that I got wrong, because there are so many of them and it's not really worth my time. We just have to realize that with all the wisdom in the world, we'll never be able to know all of it all at once. So again, it's about relaxing, celebrating what you have learned and acknowledging the things that you still have to learn. These are all moments of learning and not failure. So how does learning actually happen? Remember, right at the beginning when I was choosing a learning program and I realized that I would probably struggle with the tones in the language, was my approach helping me? Since I was quite relaxed about the issue of correctness, I was getting on okay and I had progressed a fair bit. I was actually getting on better than expected. And I was learning phrases with the right tones intuitively and in context, without necessarily spending a lot of time on properly learning the tones in isolation. I was just noting that the tones existed, and I paid them respect by being aware of them, but I also knew that I would not learn them perfectly all at once, and it would probably take me a long time to be able to produce them very well myself. And, of course, I was also aware that I would make quite a few mistakes along the way. But my Chinese was actually getting much more fluent, much smoother than that of other learners at my stage. It was because I was not constantly searching for the right tones, but rather I was uttering the phrases that I had learned in context, the way I had learned them. I had internalized these expressions. I had learned them implicitly rather than explicitly. Many people will tell you that explicit learning is important, so thinking about what has been learned, making it conscious. But the learner can also progress through implicit learning. Even when learning something explicitly, most learners will want to get to a stage where they no longer have to search for the right words, the right tones, the right structures in order to be able to speak the language. So they need the knowledge they have acquired to be automated. This is where memory and the way our brains work come in. When we first learn a new word or grammatical structure, it is likely stored in our brains as declarative knowledge. So this is knowledge about facts, structures, and the like. The learning behind it may have been explicit, such as learning a specific grammar rule. It could also have been implicit, such as being presented with language data like I had been in my gamified learning program, and then through inference working out the rules for yourself. Once we realize what these rules are, they become declarative knowledge. We are aware of them, conscious of them. Understanding a rule is a step away from applying it, though. So this declarative knowledge needs to become procedural knowledge. We need to be able to apply the rule ourselves, rather than just acknowledging that it exists. At this stage, our knowledge itself is still flexible. We may get the rule right, or we may have a slightly wrong hypothesis in our heads and get it slightly wrong. But by being constantly exposed to the language, we can correct ourselves. We can start to apply what we've learned and then see what feedback we're getting. When we've been doing this for a while, we get to a stage where the knowledge becomes automated. It means it's now become a habit and a norm. The difference to procedural knowledge at this stage is that our knowledge is inflexible and is less easily changed at this stage. So, even when we're presented with counterexamples to what we're doing, our brains are no longer searching for justifying whether what we're doing is right. So we rely on the structures that we have now internalized. We have developed this native speaker intuition, even though as a second language learner, it may not always be right. It may not always be what a native speaker would do. Learners move from declarative through procedural to automated knowledge. And they can do so across the different modalities. And the different modalities can influence one another. So being able to understand may help to be able to speak more easily. Being able to read may eventually help with writing and so on. And if learners are restricting themselves to learning in just one modality in the long term, say understanding by watching a lot of television or listening to podcasts and so on, but never speaking, then the procedural knowledge may become unavailable when they want to speak eventually. So we have to use the different modalities in order to develop them as we're learning the language. To be able to speak a language, we want our knowledge to be automated, to become effortless. We don't have to think about things consciously, but rather we can just speak. And to get there, we will need a lot of language input, and we will also have to start producing the language ourselves. While sometimes it can be helpful to be taught an explicit grammar rule to make something clear, The real learning flourishes when engaging with the language, knowing there is a rule, being aware of it, and then encountering that rule out in the world, eventually using it yourself. Those people who say you will have to learn something perfectly from the beginning, otherwise it will be too late. Is this really true? As I was grappling with how best to approach the tones of Chinese, I came across a discussion in an online language learning forum. And many people, surprisingly, were promoting this perfectionist approach. The question in this case was about German definite articles, so words like the. German has three genders, masculine, feminine, and neuter. So these definite articles exist in three core forms, der, the masculine, die, the feminine, and das, the neuter. These are all translated the in English. So English only distinguishes between the masculine, feminine, and neuter in the pronouns he, she, it, whereas German has these three grammatical genders inherent to all nouns, and they're reflected in the definite articles the nouns appear with, and in a fair few other areas of grammar as well. When talking about the house, the road, the fence, and so on in German, we first have to know which gender is inherently associated with these nouns. Unless you are a native German speaker like me, the system is not necessarily intuitive or logical in any way. So, das Haus, the house, is neuter. Die Straße, the road, is feminine. Der Zaun, the fence, is masculine. For learners of German, the gender system can be a challenge, especially since inherently female nouns can be neuter in the grammatical system. For example, das Mädchen, the girl, is neuter, das. Well, there is a reason for it. So, das Mädchen consists of two elements. It ends in chen, which is a diminutive marker, meaning little in German. And this marker is always neuter in gender. To understand that Mädchen is neuter, though, we need to understand the word's history. And this is no longer accessible to the majority of speakers of German, let alone learners of the language. So, it derives originally from an old and now semi-obscure form that is equivalent to Magdchen. Die Magd is maid in German, and just like maid in England, it's not really used that much anymore. Learners might think that knowing another language with gender distinctions will help. And I guess I agree to a degree, but it is useful to know the concept itself, but the gender distinctions won't always be the same. Take, for example, der Mond in German, which is masculine, the moon. Die Sonne, the sun, is feminine. When we look at the neighboring language, French, we have la lune, the moon, feminine, and le soleil, the sun, masculine. So it's exactly the other way around. What should learners of German do? As always, there is no right or wrong way as such. But there will be ways that are quicker, and there will also be ways that are slower. And again, it depends on individual learning preferences. There will be ways that will enable a learner to speak and be motivated to learn more, and there will also be ways to slow a learner down and possibly shut them out from learning more, thinking the language is just too difficult. Gender is an important part of German nouns, so pretty much every sentence will contain some form of gender marking. If you want to speak German well, to a native-like level or to a fluent level, you will eventually have to learn the gender. There's just no way around it. But is it necessary to learn the gender perfectly from the start? Well, I would argue that it isn't. Rather, a better approach might be to notice that nouns appear with different genders. And when learning nouns, making sure to learn them in context, for example, in combinations with their definite articles marking for gender. Das Haus, die Straße, der Zaun. When writing out vocabulary lists, I would add the definite article to each noun, thereby indicating which gender they are. Other than this, I would just try to relax. And just like with the tones of Chinese, learners in this case should expect to get the gender wrong. They should know that this is expected and it's absolutely fine. There's no need to beat oneself up over mistakes. Learning the genders of different nouns correctly takes a long time. It will need a lot of exposure to the language, watching German movies, listening to German radio, speaking the language regularly and maybe get corrected and so on. And in this way, declarative knowledge will eventually become procedural knowledge and automated knowledge, and learning will be reinforced through exposure and the use of the language. There are also methods that learners of German can employ to overcome this gender issue in the beginning, especially if they want to speak, but they're uncomfortable about getting the gender wrong. For example, they can use a dialectal form, de, similar to English, the, instead of der, die, das, and it's different case forms in different contexts. So you could just say the house, Zaun, die Straße, and would still be understood. So, the dialectal German de for the definite article is a bit of a shortcut for learners to take, if needed. I was finding that I was doing something similar with Chinese. When I was learning the numeral classifiers, for example, so these are the little words appearing together with numbers in Chinese that we have discussed earlier, I sometimes found them tricky, at least in the beginning. And while the system is considerably more intuitive than the German gender marking system, I did not always remember the right one to use. And I fell back on G, the more generic numeral classifier that you can just use in all sorts of contexts. And it wouldn't always sound very amazing, it wouldn't always sound right, but I approached this in a relaxed manner. Learning takes time, involves repeats and making mistakes. And forcing correctness from the start can be detrimental, at least to motivation. This is not how learning happens naturally. And it can give the learner the false belief that they're not very good at learning a language when they can't get things absolutely perfectly correct from the beginning. I felt that taking a language test at the beginning was not necessarily useful for myself, because when you take a language test, perfection is really the key. You have to perform, you have to produce something correctly. And I was hoping to give myself much more space to play.